And then I said, that's what she said.
Why can't I hear Mikey?
I'll move it over.
Hey,
what the hell? Just use that one, I guess. I don't know what the fuck the problem is. Well, Tyler, why can you make the board work proper?
Want me to go here?
No. What's he on, three or two?
He's always on three every week.
Well, you have all the lights off for three, so
yeah,
there you go.
Because that's how it was working for me. All right. Leave it. All right. Did you change things?
Literally everything is on.
Well, got it now.
So was Mikey. All right. Yeah, so isn't that funny?
It's pretty funny. We should have saved that for the show.
That's what I said to him, and then everyone laughed. That's what she said. I'm so...
Am I missing out on grade A, that's what she said jokes?
There's no you such got
thing.
It.
There's no. That's an oxymoron. There
grade
is no such
D
thing.
D minus.
Can I... The level of hacky jokes going on...
In the world?
Yes.
Imagine this. Please. Think about... We've watched good comedy, good movies, good stand-up.
Mm-hmm. We've done sold-out comedy.
We've sold out the number one comedy club in the country.
Anderson's literally doing a spit take while we're talking about bad comedy.
It almost came perilously close to a vomit take. We have sold out.
I was so fearful that I just spit all over Corona.
We've done.
Came so close.
You didn't care about your phone, but I appreciate that.
That was literal. I'm sorry, guys.
You almost went under the table.
That's where the trash
That was pretty good. No, we have sold out. We have done what 95% of comics have never done.
Well, there's not three of them, right? We got an edge there.
A little bit. 75%.
Hey, do you know what I like to do with the show, with the sold out show? Speaking of which, we sold out a show a few months ago. We're boasting already. It's early in the show, but we're boasting. I'd love to tell my friends, like good friends. Oh, yeah. They're like... So how's the after disaster? Oh, pretty good. We sold out a show at the Improv a couple months ago. What? Why didn't you tell me? It's a power move.
You know what I do?
I've used it a couple times.
Yeah, it's fun. Right?
Well, you know what I do that's
at work,
pathetic?
At work, they're like, oh, you know, Tyler does a podcast. And people are like, oh, cool, you do a podcast? I'm like, yeah. We sold out a show at the Improv. And then people are like, oh.
I'm worse than that.
Uh-huh. How?
Because this is narcissistic and arrogant, but somebody, it'll loosely come up in conversation. And I go,
hey,
yeah,
Randy,
we did the show at the Improv, and we sold out.
You can leave those lights on, bro. We're good. I'll take care of it. Yeah, I know how to turn off lights. Yeah, thanks, sir.
But I'll mention it's sold out, and then I always throw in no comps, because that's the big one.
Why?
Because everybody sells out. Not everybody, but a lot of people sell out, but they give away half the room or 60% of the room. And I always
said no cops, and I thought it was racist thing. Because
I always throw in, we sold out. Yeah, no comps. And then I go, we have like 9 comps. Good friends.
Yeah. Like Drew got a comp.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I always throw that in like, oh, yeah, no, we sold out,
the
no comps. And then
comp.
Sometimes I throw in the ticket price, too, because normally it's like $12. I go, $20.
And these are people that know.
Yeah.
These are people in the know.
Yeah, it's so fucking, it's so idiotic. And then I'll throw in, like it was kind of stressful because we had to sign autographs till like 2 in the morning.
My hand was all in pain. It was really hard to get back to my car with all the stuff.
Have you tried to write on t-shirts? It's really difficult, especially when you've got like 75 of them.
So, guys, what do you got?
That you sold?
What are you bringing?
I got one thing to open with.
Because I don't think I have anything. I got to check the phone, but I've been literally staring at a computer screen all day.
Hear me out. This ties into what we were just talking about. Hear me out.
I got good stuff.
It's a good idea, by the way. Uh-huh. I'm anticipating 2 yeses, and I'm anticipating we do it soon, like within a month. There's a guy that I cross paths with.
I'm in.
There's a guy that I see on the trail hiking often, and he's a friend of Miranda's.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is all code. Okay, he's talking about Runyon Canyon. He's talking about his ex.
No, it's not Runyon. It's Fryman. No, okay, so this guy, I brought up an idea to him, and he said, yeah, that's totally doable.
Was it on the trail?
And it was. It's
did
not.
Right up the.
Yeah.
Or was it in passing? Like
I said,
like,
hey,
I have an idea.
I have an idea.
I sold out the Umbro.
He drives. He drives one of those tour buses. And I go, is there any way we can have the whole bus and do a podcast on it with our listeners? We'll pay. And he goes, absolutely.
Why'd you say we'll pay?
And then I said, I don't know if we can fill it because I thought it was the double decker bus because that's what he used to drive. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it's only 18 seats. And I went, yeah, we can fill that, no problem.
Wait, wasn't this your idea?
What are we
going to
do with 18
but,
people?
But I want to confirm it. And I want to do it.
At length in my backyard about like how you should like monetize your own show.
This is us doing our podcast in one of those tour buses.
You're going to get a Sprinter.
We're going to sell like 16 tickets, 15 tickets.
Yes.
The listeners are going to buy them from the company. It's like $25.
All right.
and then we're all going to meet there. And then, wait a minute, how are we going to make money?
We're going to make like $13.
No, there's no money to be made.
Well, either way, we're going to do the podcast on the 90-minute drive that he gives the tour of celebrities' homes. And I go, can we just make fun of you the entire time? And he's like, you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Who is this man? Is he
he's a super, super nice guy.
I don't want to make fun of a nice guy.
No, no. He's going to point out celebrities' houses. And we're going to mock it.
Can he get the big bus? Does he have access to the big bus? Because this might be fun if we could get like, you know, 60 listeners on a bus.
Yeah, I think the bus, the big bus might be like 100 and something. But
all right. Yeah. Totally off topic for the most part, but it just popped in my head. Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Familiar with his stylings.
Yes, I am.
See you, Rune. Rune always does this weird, like, sign it off thing. He always, like, whenever he's leaving, he always...
You could have ended the sentence at, Rune always does this weird thing.
You're talking about his drumming,
he
right?
He always salutes when he's leaving. He's always saluting.
It's a mile-high salute. That makes it worse.
That's an insult to people in the armed services, Rune.
Not doing that back.
It's
an insult to people who aren't a mile high.
So I'm with the bald one, known as Bishop, Brian Bishop, years ago over at 97.1, which is where the Adam Carolla morning show used to be, right?
Yes.
And it was during the era that Bonaducci...
Bonaducci!
The program director, whose name I will not say, in all his infinite wisdom, thought that it would be a good fit to have Danny Bonaducci sitting shotgun to Carolla. Maybe one of the worst ideas in radio history. I mean, just
it was not a comfortable pairing.
No. Well, Bonaducci on air is uncomfortable, but then sitting next to somebody like Carolla, it was just not smart. Not a good move at all.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because Bonaducci in person is a very nice guy. On air, I can't think of anything worse.
Okay.
You like Bonaducci?
No.
Holy shit, Carano likes Bonaducci.
No, I have no feelings for him. I don't know the guy. I've never listened to him on the radio. I just know him as a drummer, a kid drummer in the Partridge Family band.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm in one of the studios. It's after the Carolla show. I'm not working on the Carolla show. This is why we were doing the film vault over there for a short stint. And Brian and I and somebody else, can't remember who, I think it might have been like a producer or something, we're having a fairly important conversation. Like a fucking tornado out of nowhere. The door slams open. It's Bonaducci, and he's just going, I got it. It's the perfect idea. I'm going to do perfect push-ups on top of a city bus. It's going to be great. People are going to be tuning in for weeks. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Perfect push-ups on top of a city bus while it's driving. And we're just like, okay, what's that have to do
How much coke was he on?
Was he addressing you guys?
He was addressing the room, but like no one in particular, but all three of us at the same time.
But like he would have said this to whoever was in the room.
Like on the roof of the bus?
On the roof of the bus, yes. That was his plan.
This is horribly dangerous.
Yeah, I didn't like
You can't even see him from the street.
Plus, he's a very small man. You'd have to be on like the third floor of an office building.
Tuning in? Who's gonna? What do you mean tuning in? They were gonna audio broadcast his push-up.
Like a morning show. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if they're. I don't know. I didn't understand because
we're going live to the street where we have a man doing push-ups on top of a bus. How's it going down there, Danny?
It's not quite the police chase that people tune in for. That are riveted by.
So I didn't get to hear like the punchline or the hook or like how you know. We're okay. That's great, Danny. We're kind of in the middle of something. I used to call him Heel Boy.
Because he wore heels, boots.
He always wore heels because he was short, and he reminded me kind of a Hellboy because he was like this little red flame. He was constantly buzzing about, so I'm like, they should make a spoof version called Heel Boy, and it's Bonaducci.
I used to listen to Free FM a fair amount, and it got really uncomfortable after he was like divested from the morning show, but he was still like they gave him that like hour after Hiding Frank.
Yeah.
He had like this weird hour show to like fill time, and he'd be like. Give me your calls a day about like let's talk about like dating, you know, dating in LA, and then they'd be like, we need your calls. This is like a show where you call in and I just talk to you guys. And then he'd fill again. He'd be like, still need your calls, and no one was calling.
It's not nice to laugh at the man with no calls. That's kind of mean.
Let's go to the phone.
Yeah, we have a call line too. So what made it even more uncomfortable? Because I'd always run into him. Always really nice. I can never introduce myself. Because he was for one of the stints where soon after Carolla left, another program director in his infinite wisdom thought that Bonaducci might be a good fit for Loveline.
Oh,
and he did a
full
week on the show, and it was when I was running it remote from down the street. So I was constantly chiming in. It was Drew and Bonaducci together.
Wow.
For a week. And you know Drew. Like he'll just, you know, make anyone in front of him feel good and happy.
Yeah.
Even though I think even Drew.
You should do push ups on the desk.
But Drew, like I'd hear him in between the breaks going, oh, you're doing great. You'd be a great fit. I'm gonna put in a good word. It's like Drew. So I made it my mission because I could not stand Bonaducci on air. And I was like thinking, I don't want to lose this job, but I'll have to quit if this man gets the job. There's no way I can listen to this man every day.
This is like the E! True Hollywood Stories.
I can hardly listen to Catherwood on a nightly basis, and I love him. Like tonight, he came in early to do the Sex with Emily show, and I was beside myself. Furious. I'm like, great, I get to hear fucking Mike stories for a half hour. I didn't have this in my plans. You know what I mean? You get tired of hearing the same fucking lecture. So if it was Bonaducci. So I was, every chance I got, I go on air and make fun of him. And he would make fun of me. I mean, he's broadcast, professional broadcaster. But we would go back and forth. And I think I made fun of him a little more than he made fun of me.
A little lopsided.
And he was very angry. Because
were you scared he was going to recognize your voice?
And he'd say like things like, who is this Anderson and how do I find him? Because it was really frustrating. Because I was like literally like 2 miles away. But I was running, the show was coming to me. And then I was mixing it all together. And I had a mic. So it was fun times.
Sounds good.
Then when I was in the same building as him like 2 years ago, like I could never introduce myself. I think even just the name Anderson might have, but probably not because he's drug-addled. All right. Sorry.
Drug-addled. That sounds like it was not his fault.
I hear lots of stories about that guy, and I think he's kind of like the, talking about Bonaducci still, like the prototypical, hey, aren't I a crazy drug addict? Listen to this. And his fucking stories were so over the top. So tiring. What happened to my
Sorry.
Speaking of drug addicts.
But I heard one story, and it wasn't from him. It was from somebody who claims to have been there and witnessed it, and it makes me almost like Bonaducci.
What was it? He was doing piggies?
There at the beach. Actually, you know the guy. It was Mike Horn told me this story. He's the guy that gave us a tour for downtown debacle. And he said,
Is that what he did? Was that a tour?
It was a tour. He took us like to King Eddie.
Took us to one bar.
So he said he was on the beach, and they just saw this ship, like this yacht coming towards them. And they were laying out on the beach, and this shit just kept coming and coming. It was way too close to shore until it just beached itself. Bonaducci came from below. Like Bonaducci just appeared on the deck holding a bottle. And he's like, fuck. And then he just went back down to the bottom of the boat. That makes me almost kind of like,
that's a pretty metal story.
Yeah.
He was holding the bottle in his hand. He came up from like the undercarriage. Like he was sleeping down there.
In a hammock.
Was he driving the ship?
No one was. That's why it
fate was.
I gotta know more about that story, man. I need more confirmation on that one.
I like that story a lot.
I like it too.
God, he had such bullshit. I was fishing with these other fishermen, right? And we caught a shark. And they're like, what you got to do is cut out the heart and eat it. It makes you a warrior. So I fucking just take this blade and I cut out his heart. And he started chewing on it like an apple. And all the guys in the boat are like, dude, we were kidding. You're crazy. Huh.
Mm.
Fuck him.
Yeah, I don't like him anymore.
I don't like him anymore either. He at least he leaps into action when somebody tells him a falsehood. Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm sorry, Mike. Where were you?
That's maybe that's what happened in Africa. If you rape a virgin, it cures your AIDS, and someone just, there a bunch of Bonaduccis jumped all over that, and someone's like, no, that's not true. I just said that to be funny. Too late. It's already spread to like 40 other tribes.
Do people actually believe that, or is it just like one evil, really smart fuck who wants to just spread a bad rumor?
I don't know. That's
no,
a pretty,
people do it.
It's
so
more than a rumor. He's spreading heartache and...
I don't know if it's they believe it as much as, well, I heard it, so
I've been looking for a good excuse to bang a virgin.
Well, then they bang like little babies, and it's really terrible.
I don't think you're looking for excuses when you've already got full-blown AIDS. I don't think you're looking for loopholes to get out of things.
But you're looking for loopholes.
Right.
That was terrible.
Okay, speaking of drug addicts.
Speaking of Africa, tonight was supposed to be the blacker disaster.
Yeah, what happened?
I was thinking about that. I was thinking we could just get three white guys to act like they're black.
That wouldn't be.
We could do it.
I talked to Avery. I've forgotten. Hey, we got to bang lockdown day for next week right now. Wednesday after? No, can't do that. Thursday after. We're down? You're down?
Sure.
All right, Thursday after. We're doing it. Blacker disaster next Thursday.
Okay.
Writing an email now.
All right. What'd you, dear black people? Is that what you wrote?
No, we'll just turn on the light on the top of the building. We have a
Do you
signal.
Know who's coming in, or are you just going to find three guys?
Put an ad on Craigslist.
That would be the hardcore way of doing it.
That would be the most authentic way of doing it.
We got the brown paper bag rule. You got to be darker than a brown.
People that don't know us coming in,
yeah,
make them listen to one show first.
I've been saying for a while, I want three big black dudes to stand behind us. And every time we say anything that they deem racist, they slap us very hard from behind.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't like it because it's... What's the reason you don't like that, Mike?
Why don't you like it?
You don't like it because you're going to say something and get slapped?
No, I don't like it. I don't feel the need to put myself in a position of being punished.
I feel confident that I would make it out unscathed. My hair would not even be messed up.
I'm sure all of us would when there's the pressure of a dude standing behind us who's going to slap us.
No, but we get comfortable. We forget. We forget these mics are here, right?
I'm not going to forget there's some guy standing behind me.
We might. If we get into a really
I'm not
going
to forget there's a skinny white guy standing behind me, let alone a big black guy ready to punch me.
What about a skinny black guy?
That might work.
Would that have deemed me to get slapped?
Jimmy Walker.
Okay. So what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was going to bring up a movie that we saw. We went to a screening of a film called Giuseppe Makes a Movie. Have you seen it?
No.
It's very much like American Movie. It's this kid who lives in Santa Barbara, and he's made 30 feature films.
I know about this
movie.
And
his name is Giuseppe?
Yeah, and he uses the people from his trailer park.
Yes. Now, I was supposed to go see this with you.
It's very Yeah, but what you said then? You were working every single night this week.
I work every single night of every week.
No, but last week you said next week you told me I'm doing podcasts every night.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I wasn't early
so
every night this week.
So Tara came with me. But it was a screening at
a
place called Cinelicious.
Plan B. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And it was fantastic.
It's called what?
It's not a movie theater. It's a really nice screening room at a company that digitizes film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very high end. And they were unbelievably gracious.
Well,
and
yeah,
there was only 20 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had food and drinks and all this, and a cappuccino maker uh-huh. there and all this stuff. And everyone who worked there was there to greet us and talk to us. And it was just this intense conversation with not douchebags, with other like filmmakers and stuff.
Well, they want you to have a good experience, so you can turn around and talk about their movie.
We watched the movie, and it broke, or the computer crashed or something.
Someone got fired
with
that,
10 minutes left. Yeah. And so our little group, sitting on our leather couches mm-hmm. with blankets and pillows, like started talking about the movie. And I said, my only issue with this movie is everyone in it, every single person in it, is clearly a still-using drug addict. And everybody just went, that's not true. No, they're not. No, and everyone fought me, including Tara. She's like, no, they're not. She goes, that guy might have done a lot of drugs. But I went, no, they're all still addicts. Not one person in that movie has a job. They're all on welfare.
This is a documentary?
It's good, too. But it's an American movie. They follow right. him around. Not one person on camera in that film mm-hmm. has a job. They're all on welfare. They all live in a trailer park, or half of them are homeless.
Living in a trailer park is kind of like a job.
No. This isn't a trailer park.
Just staying alive.
the dude lived in a shed in a trailer park for like 6 years.
Like he didn't even have
Because the
trailer?
Old guy who takes care of him is like, it just got to be too much room. We needed more room, so I bought this shed at Home Depot, and he made it into a little house movie studio. And, you know, and I think you'll like this movie a lot, and I think you'll want to find this guy.
Sounds very Sundance-y.
Totally, but American Movie is a better version of the same story.
All right, well, I'll watch that again then.
Yeah. Sure okay. Good. but I thought it rubbed me the wrong way that they were making not celebrities, but they were I felt they were exploiting a bunch of hardcore addicts.
Yeah, I don't like
hardcore
when
addicts.
People are getting getting exploited. That's why I'm not in love with Windy City Heat.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Comedy Central's issue with it as well. I am in love with it. I think it's the funniest movie ever. But Comedy Central felt they were taking advantage of a mentally ill person.
Kind of were. And that's why I stopped watching. Like, there's a lot of reality TV out there that does it. Hell's Kitchen. I love Ramsay, but Hell's Kitchen, I stopped watching it. They just always had at least two or three mentally ill people on there that were freaking the fuck out and everyone hated them.
Are you talking about people that worked in the kitchen?
Yeah.
I agree with you on that because some of those people...
Stop watching.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. It's easy to walk in and find some guy who's unstable that works at his job he doesn't love and just exploit him for the camera.
It is weird how like people like if you put a freak at like on the street corner, you're like, hey, I'll charge you $2 to come like laugh at this person or whatever. You'd be like, that's gross. But the second you put it on TV and
yeah,
the people
like,
are like, oh, it's cool because they're getting like some fame out of it. So it's totally okay. Like, no, it's still...
Remember bum fights?
Yes. Yes.
Very upsetting.
Never saw it.
I've never watched
yeah,
one.
Yeah, me either. And I don't want to either.
I saw clips because I was doing research on it back when I was in school, and it was like disgusting. Like I think that guy actually who created it went to jail. For those of you who don't know
yeah.
what it is.
It was like two dudes, and I think they both went to jail.
Two dumb fuck, just zero empathy, probably no, probably sociopaths, right? Just no remorse. They
yeah.
would find like homeless guys, like really fucked up homeless guys, and they would say, all right, you two guys, and they'd go to like a public bathroom, and they'd say, you're going to fight. Whoever wins gets a six-pack of beer. And, you know, the homeless people would fucking fight, and they'd videotape it, and they'd make comments. It was so gross.
Yeah, and they would beat the shit out of each other.
Okay, sad stuff. What are we doing? back to movies for a second. And this is not going to be a film vault. However, this film vault, this week's film vault, pretty good. We did top five baseball movies.
I saw that on Twitter.
With comedian Steve Hofstetter.
So A League of Their Own, and then what other movies are there about
baseball?
Steve
Hofstetter?
No.
No, you don't know Steve Hofstetter.
Mm. I've seen the name, though.
Yeah, he's he's kind of like the king of crashing heckler's parties. Like if a heckler is having a good time at a stable and heckling him, he's pretty good at fucking with the heck.
Yeah.
A lot of good YouTube clips of him fucking with
the heck.
Nice guy.
Don't you end up being really reliant on people heckling you?
Yeah, kind of become that guy.
There's some great baseball movies.
There really are. Yes. Pretty much all the movies that were referenced are actually good movies. A lot of time with our lists. We have to talk about shitty movies as well.
We saw Thelma and Louise last week.
Had she never seen it, so you wanted to
never saw it. And it was in her.
Had you seen it?
And Dawn opened it.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Rose McGowan had a film festival, five nights, five films that she picked out, and her short film opened each of those nights.
Dawn is the name of her short film.
Let me tell you a real quick story about Rose McGowan.
Talk about Dawn. Okay.
So you know how I have a problem with rude people?
This whole thing is strong.
You know that?
Yeah, I do.
Like, it's pretty clear.
I wrote it
into
the script for your movie.
So what happens on a regular basis is, well, every single time a woman is heading towards a door, I open the door for her. Every time. No exceptions.
Right.
And about one out of every...
What if she's like 15 yards away, though? Do you wait?
Sometimes. Yeah. Not always, but sometimes.
If she's hot, he waits.
I judge it.
Right.
Yeah, correct. If she's not hot, I spit in her face and push her down and go in myself.
Wow. You know, you close the door on her. Okay.
But many, many times, and it's happened with Tara at least a half a dozen times where I hold the door for someone, she just walks through and just gives me attitude. And then now Tara will jump in and go, "You're welcome." And
Tara's
it's
a little feisty.
It's turned, yeah, it's gotten hostile, and it makes me irate when I hold the door for somebody and she just walks through and doesn't even make any kind of eye contact. Like,
is it because she thinks that you're trying to like pick up on her?
Not at all. It's normally women in the valley, like older women in the valley. I hold the door and they just walk right through. Like, that's right, I'm the fucking queen of England. So, I'm in the lobby of this movie theater and I'm talking to Rose McGowan, and then someone goes, "Rose, it's ending," because she has to go in and make an appearance. So I hold the door for her.
Uh-oh.
And she's walking through. And not only does she not say thanks or anything, she kind of takes a breath and holds her head up kind of in a cocky manner. And just she kind of stops before the door and goes, raises her head and walks right through.
All right. In fairness to Rose.
Okay. In fairness to me being a hypocrite, not only was I not offended by it, but instant crush. And I was like, she basically went, "Hold the door for me, you puny fucking man." And that's right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Yes, ma'am." And I honestly loved it.
You
it was
loved
weird.
It.
I was like giddy.
Mike's one of those guys that would like to be beaten.
I was
with
giddy.
Like a, with a switch.
It was like, she was like my dominatrix. And I was like, "Yes, ma'am, I've been a bad boy."
I was going to say that maybe she's just in a place where she wasn't even thinking because she was nervous.
Totally. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. That was the case.
Mike's going to get a weekend job as a doorman at a hotel.
Now, I heard somebody making these arguments about people. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Die? You had something.
Yep.
And there's no way not to like her, by the way, because when she's talking to you, she gets right in your face and she touches you a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a device.
Like it's, I know, but
I
don't care.
I dated a girl for
I don't
a while.
Care.
She explained that she does that to me.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care. And then she gave me a big hug, only met me one time, and then she dragged us to a super hip underground bar in downtown LA, which neither one of us wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. And one of the worst things that made me fucking cringe happened at the door. The door
she
guy's like, "I need to see your ID." And Tara's like, "I'm not 21. He goes, "You're not getting in that." And then the Publix just walked over and went, "She's with us." And then the guy goes, and let her in. And I was like, "That's embarrassing." And I want to go to the door again and go, "I'm sorry that happened. I'm embarrassed by that.
Also, can I hold this open for the next group of people?"
Yeah. Who's coming?
No,
I can hold the door.
Put the velvet rope in front of Mike.
This was the worst. This was a nightclub that people probably love because it was fucking packed. Uh-huh. But it's the worst place I've been in a long time. It is so underground. They have to walk down an alley where there's a second door guy who lets you in the back door, like a vault-looking
door. I have
door.
A great new idea for a show. You send Mike around the world to the most exclusive clubs.
And I talk about how they're the
but
biggest
just as
pieces
himself.
Of shit.
Isn't that kind of like Carl Pinkerton?
Yeah, but with clubs, not with the Seven Wonders of the World.
Did I get his name right? Was that
yeah, Carl
Idiot Abroad?
Pilkington.
But this place was loud, and it was Pilkerton. it was like the hippest.
Plickton. Snake Plitzkin.
Like,
yeah, those places
uncomfortable
are not for
bar.
People like you and I, Mike.
No, they're apps. That's exactly correct. That's the music, and they had private little rooms, and everything. Everyone
service,
was cool.
But did they have bottle service?
I'm sure they did.
Bottle service is the best.
I'm sure they did.
Did they have valet?
No. This is a secret. Oh. No, you don't even know it's there.
Okay. I'm down.
You're walking on the street. We couldn't find it. And there's the address on a gate, and there's a dude standing there. And then that's where we went in. And then you walked down a literal alley.
Why is it good? Why do
it's not.
Like that? Why
it's
do
not.
Like it? Do they think they like
you
it?
You know what's good about it? Huh. The only thing that's good about it is we're in a shitty part of downtown, and all of a sudden you go through a couple of doors, and you're in this
magnificent.
Yeah,
yeah. That's yeah. how raves used to be. When I used to go to raves, yeah. that was kind of cool because I'd be in a really shitty part of town, yep. and it was all like just bad shit, like stray dogs yeah. and broken down cars, and
it just it sort of reminded
it's just like
me
this drug wonderland.
Not nearly as cool, but it sort of reminded me of what those. Like prohibition bars were probably like where you walk into a barbershop and it just looks like a fucking rundown barbershop.
There's a lot of those there.
And then someone pushes the book cabinet aside and all of a sudden it's like, da-da, there's a big band and there's chicks dancing on tables and there's a bunch of dudes in pinstripe suits sitting around.
I don't want to get too far into this and it's probably boring for everyone, but like there's actually a tour you can take. And there's a lot of like downtown in downtown LA, a lot of old bars left over from the speakeasy days.
Yeah.
And they have tunnels that go to each other.
How's that boring?
They go to each other. Well,
there's a bunch in Seattle too.
Seattle has a whole underground city.
Yeah, I've done the tour.
They say in New York that no one has ever confirmed this, to me at least, but there's a lot of folklore about underground tunnels in New York mm-hmm. going from building to building.
And we just said that about L.A. and Seattle.
But New York's older, so that's more realistic.
The 5 points. All right.
There was a cow tunnel
we got to talk about
built in New York.
What?
Yeah, I
from
read
Jersey
a
Jersey to New York.
It was on a podcast I listened to, and they were talking about this mysterious cow tunnel. And the woman did tons of research to find out if it's true or not. It turned out it was true. They built a tunnel under one of the main streets in New York that went from the shipyard where the cows came in, the train yard, to the slaughterhouse. And they couldn't walk them over the street because it was the advent of cars mm-hmm. and too many cows were getting hit and traffic yeah. was getting clogged up. So they built a tunnel, like a 100-yard tunnel.
And
they
still there?
No one could find it, but she did find blueprints.
So maybe they thought about it. Tyler Mooprints.
Sorry.
No, it's written about. It's
Real
written
quick,
about in stories.
Before we never, ever go back. I heard someone discussing this the other day. And it was kind of interesting, but they were talking about L.A. and how like people are so fucking rude, and they don't say thank you when you let them in traffic, and they yeah. don't say thank you when you open the door for them. And somebody had the tenacity, the gall, the temerity to suggest that it's because here everyone's so polite. That they just expect it. It's a given. Now, in New York, they'll thank you because it's so rare that somebody actually does that for you. And I want
okay,
to
Okay, people
reach.
In New York are clearly more polite than people here. I've been there, and people will answer your question when you ask them a question. If you look like you're lost, you need help, somebody will go, are you all right? I've seen it happen.
When were you there, Mike?
Last time I was there was probably a year ago. When did I go okay. last time?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember his New York debacle.
Yeah.
Because I was there once, and it was like 2004, and I was kind of thinking, this is not the New York I was preparing myself for all my life, because I'd watched the Nero movies and Scorsese,
me too.
And I was expecting and ready to like get in like arguments with people yep. on the street. And they're all really nice, and I'm like, ah, it must be 9/11. They must have all come together, and they're
maybe.
Just trying to.
Maybe they did.
No, but not if you were there a year ago, and they're still nice.
I was
Warriors!
There before 9/11, and people were pretty nice.
Do you need directions?
Tyler, that might be the worst thing you've ever done on the show. I was expecting to find Luther and just getting a like
absolutely
a gang fight with him. I was excited about
Warriors.
It.
Warriors.
All right, we got some very important after disaster business to take care of, and I think
it's
no
so
better,
important. We didn't even bring it up for 30 minutes into the show.
No better place to do it than on the show.
Cool.
You're right? You're correct about that.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Mike?
No, I have no idea. Is it that we're now selling snuff?
We're not selling snuff.
Why aren't we doing snuff?
Because it's gone from the building. I took it all.
I would do some more snuff. I only like the menthol, though.
We started some of our listeners on snuff binges.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking, because I quit smoking again since last week. All right, stop texting.
Did you? Did either of you happen to take a tissue and wipe out the inside of your nose afterwards?
No problem.
Be
no
so
problem.
Grossed out that you decided you're never doing snuff again?
You asked me for snuff tonight, so that's not
I
true.
Know, I know. I'm a snuff addict.
I was actually sitting and ironically smoking a cigarette while having a few cocktails by myself at 3 in the morning last week. When it hit me, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing snuff openly on the show? What a bad influence that is to, like, younger listeners. What are we doing?
Good point.
Like, pushing tobacco products on young...
And a new one. A new one.
Well, a new old one, yeah.
Ooh, we could put a Surgeon General's warning on that episode.
Ah, too late.
Anyways,
we got to get his approval before we put his warning on there.
Fumigate this building, so I took all the snuff home so that it wouldn't become even more poisonous. Then they ended up not fumigating, so... But the snuff remains in my house, which is not good. Every now and again, I'll be walking by, and I'm like, eh, little snuffskies.
Get me through the day.
The menthol is great. The other ones I didn't care for.
We're not going to do a repeat. So we, I think we were on the phone or we were texting. I can't remember how it came up, but it came up since last episode. And there's something that is being offered to be made for us.
Yes.
Of us?
Yes. And he's gung-ho. Yes. He's gung-ho.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know too, Ty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's
I was on the chain, and I asked you to please take me off.
Nathan Hamill.
Yeah, that's right. You were trying to sleep.
Yeah, Nathan Hamill is a toy designer, in case you guys didn't know that.
Friend of the show, Nathan Hamill.
And he makes toys, his own designs, and I don't know what the name of it is. I guess I should know. Lava Bear?
Mm-hmm.
And he sells them. And he wants
kind of
to design us
Todd
a toy.
McFarlane. Todd McFarlane of
yes.
the generation.
Yes. He's like a not successful Todd McFarlane. Just kidding.
Wow. Nathan,
and
I still like
I know,
you.
For all I know, he sells 10,000 of those babies at a pop. But he knows a lot about getting vinyl toys made.
10,000 individuals or 4,000?
And as you know, I love vinyl toys. And he said...
Kinky.
Yeah, I know.
He's willing to design us...
I like opening doors and vinyl toys.
He's willing to design us... An after disaster
specific toy out of latex vinyl.
And he's got a bunch of ideas, but I told him let's throw it around and we'll throw our ideas around.
He wants
his
to
are
do
like,
one of Stanley.
He wants
right?
to do Stanley.
What is that all about?
With a machete, possibly. Mm. But I'm thinking more just three of us.
What about the three of our heads on Stanley's body? Like we're like the three-headed dog from is that Hercules?
I have two solid ideas.
That's not bad.
That I think both beat
out
that.
Let's go, because I don't have much.
All right, there's that one picture of us where we're all from Machete Night. That's a pretty good one. We all got our machetes. We're all in poses, right? That'd be pretty good.
Okay. If you see what he makes, though, I don't think he's going to make us, like, action figures.
No, I think he is. I think he is.
He's not going to do, like, artistic reinterpretations?
You want to just call him right now and ask him what he's going to do?
I'm assuming it's going
to
be a character.
We could get the artist in on the phone.
I have a feeling he's because his characters are very specific to how he designs them, and they're not caricatures, but they're his own creation. So I don't think he's just going
to
do a sculpture of us.
You need to give him something to go on, probably, right? Because we're doing that one with the machetes, and then this is probably boring for everyone. But maybe we can have the listeners vote, maybe via Twitter. What is tweet? Okay. The other one would be Mike and I fist bumping. With Tyler in the background looking very appalled.
That's so...
It's good.
How...
And Mike and I are... I'm wearing my Cole Cockle shirt, and Mike's got his Church of Corona shirt.
Or we could make...
such a weird, specific moment.
Yeah, I know. Like,
we could make
show.
Rubber recreations of our dicks, and people could try to figure out whose is whose.
I don't like that.
Man, I don't like that one either, now that I think about
it. I'm not a fan of that one.
Now that you think about it? You liked it as it was coming out?
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea like a minute ago. Or we could have stunningly lifelike recreations made of our eyeballs. You just keep one of our eyes in your pocket. Squishy.
No, these are all terrible ideas. We need to do the machete.
What about a keychain?
Oh, could you do a keychain?
I think he wants to do something more artistic.
Why don't we just let him do it then?
You know, he should do like a creepy bust of. Like,
he's the artist. Why
morph
he do
the
it?
Three of our faces together into
creeps.
One
yeah.
creepy ultimate podcaster.
Daniel Johnston and Ron English and some other guy I never heard of were in a band together, and I can't remember the name of the band, but I have the record, and it was all three of their heads together morphed. They all shared like one eye.
How about
creeps?
How about?
Sorry for the obscureness of that. When I don't even have half the information.
How about his interpretation of us as like 80-year-old men?
I don't like it. It
yeah, I don't like that either. Party. You're right.
It's like really depressing.
How about us like Muppet Babies?
Muppet Babies.
No, how about us with machetes in our hands next? This is not the film vault, but what do you guys know about Tusk?
Nothing.
I've seen the previews.
What are the previews
I've read
show
the
you?
Terrible reviews.
I loved it. What do the previews show you?
The preview gave it away 100%.
Oh, those fucks. I'm so sick of previews. Killing everything.
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for a movie the other day, and they took you down. It was like the Cliff Notes. Like, every single plot point. They
what
just
was the way you just deliver that line? I tell you, I saw a trailer
Gosh
the other
darn it,
day.
Shucks.
Dagnabbit.
Was it like that?
Yeah, it was a lot like that.
You know what? It's the heat in here. The heat's kind of throwing me off a little.
I got to say,
some snuff.
It's funny, because I was walking by a movie theater with one of the girls that works at the Improv recently, and she goes, is that the same Kevin Smith that's at the club every single week? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Pretty sure.
Oh, does it say Kevin Smith's?
I don't think she knew that he is a film director. She just thought he was a podcaster.
Well, yeah, I think that that doesn't surprise me at all. He doesn't make many movies anymore, and he's kind of big in the podcast world.
Yeah. But he's been selling out the
movie idea came up on it. He came up with it on his podcast.
I listened to it too. It was fucking amazing listening to these two. He's a smart guy, but just a total fucking stoner smoking weed and coming up with the idea. It reminded me of this show. Yeah.
The show with deep pockets.
Yeah.
We'd be in trouble if we had deep pockets and we could indulge any of the ideas that we've.
Well, I've already indulged one, and there's going to be another one coming.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah. Well, actually, the Cult of Corona came up with the three of us came up with it, but it was off air. But yeah, there's one.
The next film is you getting yelled at by your wife.
No, she's doing it. You're right.
Yeah, all good.
All right,
still mad.
It's so hot in here. I can't. It's like
it's really not hot in here.
Hot yoga.
It's not. This is nothing like hot yoga.
We're doing some Bikram pod.
You can hear the sweat coming out of us.
Mm.
So, I got a gym story for you.
Okay.
It's creepy. It's very creepy. Technology is a creepy thing. Chemicals creep me out too. So I'm at a gym. It's called LA Fitness, and for an
you might have heard of it.
It's LaFrit Fitness.
For like an extra like I don't know, it's either $2 or $10 a month. One of those. You get a towel every time. You can feel more elite and cool like you walk in. I'm not on that tier, so I don't get a towel.
It's either $2 or $10.
I don't know. I remember doing the math in my
head. Two seems a little cheap.
It does.
I did the math in my head once, and I'm like, that's not cost effective at all. I could buy 2 beach towels a month for that. Keep them.
Have you bought any towels?
No, I don't even bring towels.
Really?
Yeah.
Boo. You're that seems, sweaty guy rude. That leaves a sweat all over everything.
Yeah, that's gross.
Actually,
while chuckling to his headphones.
Wipe my sweat off on the seats.
I got to ask you, is there anyone at the gym nowadays? Because I haven't been to a gym in 30 years.
I put my forehead on the seat and then I wipe it. That's how I get
Mike,
my forehead.
Mike, you haven't been there since your days at Muscle Beach with Arnold?
Is there anybody that comes in with like sanitizing wipes? Because it seems like
they have stuff everywhere. They got they got paper towels and sanitizing stuff everywhere. So I
will tell you this: I had free gym memberships. I had free comp gym memberships in San Diego when I was the GM of the Improv down there.
Not cop, by the way.
And I would go to the gym like once or twice a week, and I would ride the bike for like 20 minutes, and then just be like, as soon as I break a sweat, I'd split. And I remember the guy who owned the gym walking around with new potential customers, and he goes, "What you don't want to do is what he does." Like, pointed me out.
That's why he gave you a free membership, because he used you as a teaching device.
What was it? That you
I would show up there, and I would go, I would get on one of the life cycles for half an hour, maybe.
But would he say that? Would he explain that was what he was talking about?
I don't know. I just saw him once ago. You don't want to do what he's kind of making fun of me for it, but I was like,
dick.
Yeah. I'm sweating.
So I'm walking into my gym, right? And I've noticed for a while. Tyler, what are you doing? What are you doing over there?
What?
See, rolling your eyes and opening them and closing them like you got a contact in your skull.
No, just a sleepy boy.
I interpret it more like you're the gym expert here.
Yeah,
you'll be the judge of this story.
I'm leaning in to get the deets. Uh-huh.
So they have like a metal detector, which it occurred to me once they went off that they've been there for a long time, but I never really even thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can consider it kind of ghetto-esque where I live. Maybe they had some people.
I think it's more about the fact that once you give them a credit card, you never can get it back. So if someone's had to have come in there disgruntled once or twice with a fucking machete.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think people go in there because they have a credit card imprint of you and they run rampant on the employees violently.
No, I would be worried about that if I owned a gym.
Turns out what they are is they're like the security kind that they have like at stores where you can't steal shit.
Oh, towels.
A guy was walking out and it went off. Right in front of me as I was walking in.
Oh, buddy, that $2 doesn't buy it, yeah.
And she's like, come here, let me see you, sir. And she was cool about it, but he's like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. He opened his little bag, pulled out one of their towels, handed it back.
That's no excuse for that. He put it in the bag. He knew he was stealing it.
But here's that. I don't give a fuck about him stealing. You know, to steal all the towels you want, son. It doesn't bother me. How the fuck does the towel trip the thing?
Probably got an RED.
Yeah, they probably sew a little thing into it.
What's the little thing? Yeah.
Yeah, a little, like the thing that I beep in to get into my work
every day.
How small can they be?
They're so small, they're almost,
they can go
almost
in the wash?
They can sew them in there, no problem. They can put them on anything. They put them on clothes and
stuff. I've looked at one of the, actually, I got one of the towels because one of the girls came with a towel once. Yeah. And I handled that towel pretty good. I used it. I don't remember feeling any kind of little.
It's in there. It might be in the tag or something.
Let me tell you, I handled that towel pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I handled it.
Should we try and take a call? Is that where we are in the show?
I guess.
I thought it was like chemicals or I'm a stupid person.
Chemicals?
No, yeah, that's what I was afraid of. That's what I was worried about.
No, it's the new – but Anderson, they put those things in almost everything now because it's not the barcode that makes things go off at the grocery store if you walk out with food. It's there's an RID or whatever the word is.
If you steal lettuce, it's going to go off because they have an RID.
Probably not
lettuce,
but no. If you take a box of something, it goes off, certainly.
Well, they have
what do you think trips it at the grocery store? And it happens so often, they don't even look.
Yeah, they don't look.
Like you walk through, and you don't even bother.
Nothing ever goes off my grocery store. I think I could steal endless
mine goes
amounts
off a lot.
Of things.
My Ralph's is always going off.
Really?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They don't look.
No one looks. No,
wait,
it's
are they
like
supposed
a car
to take
alarm.
It out or like when you scan it?
When you scan it, it just deactivates it.
Uh-huh.
They become so small, they're virtually, but they're in the paper or something. And they're so inexpensive that you can just throw it away.
This is how you know none of us could be engineers, because we don't go for like the most like what's the most logical answer to this. We're like, oh, it's probably like mysterious chemicals that
it's
are
probably
emitted
some voodoo.
By the
it's
towel.
Probably voodoo.
Well, if you gave me the towel, I would immediately look for something sewn in or something. But is it so small you won't even really see it?
Mm-hmm. It's probably in the tag. There's probably a tag, and it's probably sewn into that.
Or maybe it was a whole piece of security theater just to intimidate you because they were eyeing you. And they're like, that looks like a guy that was stealing.
You know
towels.
What? That would almost work. Every like hour on the hour, you have an actor walk through, and
that
they come
would
out
be
and frisk
way
him.
More cost effective. And think of this: like, how much does that system cost? Because they got the big like you know panels that have to go on either side. That
it's just 2x4s painted white.
How much? These towels can't cost more than like 25 cents each in bulk. What are they so worried about?
I don't know
the
where you're getting
towel?
Towels that cheap because my towels were like $80 each.
Bulk.
Mine were made in England. Well,
why are you buying $80 English towels, Mike?
I've had these towels for at least 10 years. They're the best towels I've ever had. I bought.
These are not the towels they hand you at
they're,
LA
they're
Fitness.
Made, my towels are made in England from Egyptian cotton.
They're always Egyptian cotton. It's always the best.
I loved the best these chair. Towels when I bought them, and they were way, way, way too expensive. And I bought three of them, and I immediately lost one. And I was so fucking fucked up, and I still have two, and I still use them. No, I had four, and I lost one. I have three.
Can you bring them in next week, and we can all sit around in them?
Yeah, it's probably – I need to probably need to buy new ones.
I got some for my wedding, and I promptly returned them to Bed Bath & Beyond.
How come?
Because I wanted the money because we were broke.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Should we try and take a call? Hello, you're in the After Disaster. How are you?
Thanks for calling me After Disaster.
Hello?
Hello. Hey. Hi there. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Welcome
good.
To the program.
We're talking about dating in L.A. What do you have to say about that?
What?
Nothing.
We're not talking about dating in L.A.
What kind of towels do you have?
We're talking about towels.
Cheap ass Target towels.
Cheap ass.
So we're talking to a poor person.
my kind of towels. I don't buy $80 towels. Sorry.
So what brings you to the old After Disaster tonight?
Looking for good times.
Who are you calling for there, son? I said son twice.
Love life?
That's upsetting.
That's the wrong answer. I knew that guy was going to be because he was a brand newest call. We have other calls.
I know, I got really excited. I was like, a new person!
I've been sitting around for a while. Hey, how are you?
I kind of did too. I was like, oh, I don't recognize his voice.
Guys, come on. We're back.
I'm doing good. Why aren't you guys out streaming live?
Because Rune sucks cock.
Oh.
That's not really why.
He's cautious. What is he? What?
Ronald, how did your show go with Dr. Drew's podcast?
It went, it was a little rough.
Why?
When was this? I was all over the map. And I mean all over. I decided, I'm going to dominate this conversation and just never shut the fuck up, even though there's another guest there. And I just went, blah, 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 me, bought a car. I did this. I did that. I'm going here. I'm going there. It just never ended. And then I felt so uncomfortable and so guilty about it that I had to send out apologies. Anna David got an apology saying, I'm sorry I did that to the show. She goes, no, it's fine. The girl who I did the show with. Uh-huh. And then I sent Dr. Drew's wife an apology and said, I want to apologize. I called you crazy on Dr. Drew's podcast.
And she said, I already knew that because I'm psychic.
More than once. And I said, I did it a couple times. And I didn't do it like in a nice way. Like, you know, your wife's crazy. I went, you know, your wife's crazy. And I go, you need to acknowledge. I said, you know, your wife is crazy, right? You need to acknowledge that. And he's just kind of looking at me like, why are you doing this? And then I felt so uncomfortable about it later. And her response was, go fuck yourself. Not kidding.
But do you think she was joking?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping so.
You're hoping.
He's hoping.
So you and Dr. Drew might be breaking up.
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Yikers.
Wow. Well, that'll be an enjoyable episode to listen to.
I think the second half, I think it was good, the second half, because that's when I decided to break out my, I think it's inherently built into men to disrespect women comment, and then I wouldn't let it go, even though they both gave in out. I'm like, no, I think men don't respect women, and I go, I think it's built into us. I go, because we don't respect women. He's like, that's not true, and I went, it's totally true. And, you know, and I started going on this big tirade, and I couldn't explain myself, and what I meant to say was, no guy 300 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, was worried about getting home with the food and being late because his wife's going to be pissed.
It's true. I don't know,
you were just like,
lost.
Fuck her. I have a saber-toothed tiger, and she's going to eat when I
500 get... years ago, saber-toothed tigers.
No, you know, even in the 50s, no guy was like, oh, I got to rush home from the office.
Well, weddings,
speaking
marriage.
Of tigers.
How did they get marriage out of us? That's not in our DNA to settle
right,
down and be
right.
monogamous. I mean, how do they – how – where
know.
Do we
– I don't know. I think Dr. Drew's answer to that was in another conversation was that people need safety and security, so you bond with one person for that group, that family.
Mm.
Eloquently put.
And when is the episode that you guys recorded in the Palm Springs? When will
when is that happening there?
Put up.
You know, I got to say, I don't have an exact date on that.
Well, there is demand for the Palm Springs.
I will put that on a disc and give it to Tyler next week for sure.
Uh-huh. Send me an MP3.
And you can listen to it and decide if you want it to be uploaded. Right, or I'll do that.
Thanks for calling, my friend.
Yo. Even though my internet's been down for a week exactly.
How are you alive?
Keep up the good work.
I want to tell you, it's become unmanageable, and I finally freaked
Hold
out.
On, real quick.
Well, I freaked out and called them on Monday.
What was your name, man?
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Have you called before, Kev?
It's been a long time.
Okay, you have called before.
Yep.
We might be doing a show in Portland.
That would be awesome. I would come to it.
Can you buy 300
for
tickets?
For you.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Kevin if he showed up.
Get to listen to your podcast and everything.
Thanks, man.
Made a little reference.
And
reference.
How about bumper stickers anytime soon?
Talk about Kevin. We have stickers that go on bumpers but get washed away very quickly.
Which is the way we like it.
Yeah.
Okay. But, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
I called the cable company and told them it's not working at all, and they ran all these tests via their remote system, and the woman's like, oh, yeah, you have a 75% loss in packets by the time it gets to you. Mm-hmm. I went, yeah, I know. After like a half an hour of explaining to her, I did that. Then she goes, okay, it's Thursday between 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. So I sat at home from like 1:30 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. Not a call. No one showed up.
Which company?
Time Warner.
This is our anti-ad of the week.
Time Warner.
Time Warner and Bank of America, my two least favorite companies.
I'm going to call them tomorrow morning, and I'm honestly going to tell them, you better get someone over here fucking today. And you know what else I want to tell them? And I'm not kidding.
Why are you with them?
I'm not kidding. Because they're fine.
What?
Except for this one experience.
No, get like
they're great. They're fucking me royally, but they're great.
No, it's been fine for well over a year.
How much you pay a month? This has got to be boring for
I pay like $45.
Oh, get rid of them. There's like 90 different
I'm going to look into it tomorrow morning in between calling the doctor.
Speeds.
But I want to tell them, go fuck yourself. Mm. I'll be home at 3. Your guy better be standing in front with a fucking toolbox.
You can't use that language.
And if he's not there, you can suck it. And
also, it's definitely the person on the phone's fault.
And you got to get a bunch of comps, too. You got to get at least that week credit.
Bunch of comps?
I don't know if I had the balls to do that.
No, you have to. Fuck them.
Hey, you want to hear the biggest fucking ripoff? And you're kind of aware of it because she called you tonight. Mm. Tara's booking a house in Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah.
And the rates were like $290 a night.
Yeah.
And then they told her, okay, two nights, it's going to be $1,150.
Yeah.
And then she goes, what's the extra money? And he goes, cleaning fee, pool heating fee, insurance. And it's almost 100%.
Damn,
yeah. It's almost 100%. Yeah, I told her.
You get most places don't... this is boring too.
Yeah, we could be talking about the tiger that ate somebody at the zoo.
What?
When?
This week, like 2 days ago.
To make it cost effective, she has to do 3 nights minimum. Let's move on.
In India, some high school kid jumped into a tiger.
Okay, I saw the picture and I thought it was a happy ending, so I didn't watch it. I saw the video clip and the guy's like against the wall and the tiger's approaching him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't watch it.
He sits there doing like this waving motion, which I guess he was praying or something like that. And this tiger like keeps like coming up to him. It looks like a cat is gonna like play with you, and everyone is yelling at the kid and the tiger and whatever. And then the tiger, you all of a sudden just grabs him by the head in his jaw and just runs away with him, takes him to the other end of the other end of the enclosure, and yeah. He, I guess, screamed for like a good 10-15 minutes while he was like munched.
Oh.
I thought you should go for the throat. He died. And make you not alive quick.
But
I don't go in the tiger cage. I don't have a lot of sympathy for people that.
I don't either, obviously, because I, even though it would have been the most disturbing thing I'd ever witnessed, but I would like to have been there. Even though I'm not going to India, and I'm certainly not going to the fucking zoo in India.
How was the zoo? Well, it was nice.
You're not going to believe this.
They had free cotton candy.
Oh, and a guy got eaten by a tiger in front of us.
I have a cat.
What?
That would kill you. What?
Yeah, I got a cat.
Wait, you came to the dark side?
Yeah, okay, my sister's husband.
Yeah.
He was working on a group of apartment building up in Palmdale. For those of you not in the LA area, Palmdale is...
And he found a stray cat.
Palmdale's hell on earth.
Yes.
An hour north of LA, always hot.
Yep.
In fact, when I went there, because Jillian's car got impounded years ago, we had to go pick it up in Palmdale. And anyone listening from Palmdale, I'm sure you live in the nice part.
Yeah.
But I got out. And
which is underground where it's normal temperature.
It's where it's hour south of where you live.
Yeah.
You hear that where people say, I got out and I was like, it felt like a different planet. Like it felt like Mars. It felt like something like not terrestrial.
Yeah,
it
it's creepy. Like Mars. It's creepy.
Like I had to like walk, and it was like I could see the heat waves. It was just so. Anyways, he's up there working, and he's walking by one of the units, and he hears a meow, and he talks to the landlord. He's like, "Hey, I hear a cat in distress or something." And
the landlord's like, "That fucker hasn't been paying rent. Get him out of here."
I don't think anyone's in there. And he goes, and the landlord's like, "Oh no, they moved out 2 weeks ago." They go in there, and this fucking cat. I didn't see any pictures, but all accounts were that it could barely stand up on its own. I don't know if it could stand up on its own. It had no food, no water for 2 weeks, two full weeks. And they had animal control was going to come take it and just go destroy it.
Yeah.
So Ryan, my sister, my brother-in-law, took it home, and they nursed it back to health. But they already got like three dogs and two cats. They couldn't have another one.
You have three dogs.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have no cats. So
cats are bigger than Anderson's dogs.
So they asked me if I wanted it. It's still a kitten, and I went over and met it, and it's a really sweet, cute little cat.
What'd you name it?
It's got a broken tail. It has no name yet because I haven't seen it since I brought it home Tuesday. It's just under the couch.
That's what Henry did for about 3 or 4 days.
Oh, this is going on 4 days, 5 days. Now, I don't
know. You can't even pet it?
I don't know if she's ever going to get her over the fucking dogs. Because every time she does come out, the dogs are all like, they're not going to like, they're not aggressive, but they're all like amped up and excited and jumping around. So I don't know what to do. Plus, the dogs keep breaking into the room that I have. I have her in a nice little room in the back. It's like, cool, and she's got the litter in there and the food. Dogs keep getting in somehow, pissing on everything and eating her food and leaving.
The guest room?
I would find that true.
Well, that's probably because the door doesn't lock.
I know. I need a new room.
What do you mean, how do they keep getting in? They just push it with their nose, and they can just walk in.
I don't know how they figure that out.
I don't know. They're one of the dicks. I don't know. My dogs are such assholes. They don't do it in front of me because they know it's wrong, but they're constantly peeing behind my back. One of the dicks, they peed on her litter.
What is the...
this is my litter now, bitch.
What is the... what color is the cat?
It's like one of those gray stripy ones.
Ooh.
Really sweet little kitty, but she's terrified of me.
She probably doesn't like snakes.
I had a moment with her last night, though. We were almost like making out. Like, actually, this sounds so gross. But I swear to God, I was laying.
Are you starting to like the cat more than the dogs?
I was laying on the bed in the back room, right? Having a moment because I'm just trying to like get her. I'm trying to acclimate her too, so that she gets used to my voice and used to my. My musk, yeah. And I'm sitting there, and what I do is like she'll be under the bed, and it'll be like a back and forth cat and mouse game before I finally get her, because she'll run here or run there, and she just wants.
Are you the cat or the mouse?
I'm the cat. She's the mouse, so it's kind of ironic. I pick her up, I get her, and then I take her on the bed. I've been doing this like four or five times, like once or twice a day, and trying to warm her up and get her to like be cool. Last night we had
this is a creepy sentence. This is a creepy story. If you don't know, he's talking about a cat.
Warm her up. I'm trying to warm her up. I was chasing her. She's
try,
under the bed.
Grab her from
I finally
the bed.
Get her out. I get her in the bed. So we're trying to warm her up.
Trying to get her used to my musk.
Our fifth or sixth session, right, of me doing this. And I'm trying to spend at least 15, 20 minute like little sessions with her.
Not getting
so
better.
She'll get sessions. Last night, breakthrough. I got home from work, and I take her under the bed. She's probably like half full grown. You know what I mean? She's still a little kitty. Really pretty.
Even say kitty. Oh, no.
So I'm petting her, and like for the first time, like she's into it. Like she's not trying to get away. Like she starts like rubbing her head against my hand, and I'm like,
it's happening.
I kind of know where they got the word pussy back in the day.
I have no idea where you're even going with that.
Oh, this is so gross, isn't it? But like, you know, like, they've been calling cats pussies like since like the probably the 1800s or something, like the cowboys, you know what I mean?
Is it because and she's furry and soft?
I can just see like it just she's so cold and it took her a while, and then once she warmed up, like she gets like she's like into it. Mm. I'm like, oh,
I think you're overthinking this. I don't know if that's
well,
how
that's
it came.
What happens when you're alone?
From
in
the
room.
Guy that brought you chemical chemical towels comes no! Where pussy came from.
Takes a long time to warm them up.
No, but I get.
No, you're right. You're right.
There.
It takes some, it takes time to warm up a pussy.
And I don't like the word pussy, and I think it's crass. I but I just like it for the first time. It kind of made sense because I've never had a cat. I've had cats growing up, but they're like the family cats. I've never had my own.
You know
cat.
What?
And I'm like this.
I don't think you're wrong about this.
I think that that's where it actually probably maybe came from.
Takes so they're standoffish.
They're very standoffish.
Sometimes you have to yank them out from underneath
don't
the bed.
Trust you at all? But then if
you have
touch
to warm them up,
if you like, I felt like I was doing foreplay yep. with this fucking cat, and then.
You got to keep the dogs away from your pussy.
I'm not going to say she was sexual, but, like, she was, you know, writhing. And God, I hope the wife never hears this.
I think you're right. That's pretty smart.
She's not going to let you play with the cat.
Are you saying that just to make me feel better?
No, I absolutely think you're correct. I think some guy figured out, you know, this is...
Oh, I can't wait for the feedback on this tomorrow.
It's taking this cat a while to warm up to me. I've been yanking... Just like I yank my woman out from underneath the bed where she's hiding.
Can't you say
and
like,
I get her into bed and give her a little 20-minute warm-up session.
Can't you say like one of those disgusting old like toothless yeah. like cowboy fat guys yeah. back drinking whiskey saying back in the day? Yeah. Like explaining to a young kid, woman's just like a cat.
Yep. Yep.
Now what came first? Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the problem with the thing is I'm...
What came first, the cat or the vagina?
I feel the, like it's the, a pussy cat, and then that name was co-opted and turned into a... Yeah. Name for the vagina. I don't think it was the other way around.
But it still could work either way, like if there's similarities there.
Paul, like... you know what this pet's like? It's like a woman's vagina. It's hard to get to love you, and it's hard to warm it up.
It lacks milk. Wait.
At least
how it would happen. Like,
I hope
the guy's
you...
like a man, like that old disgusting guy with no teeth.
Hey, you know what you should
breath.
Do? Cats like being in high places. You should buy one of those high cat houses the dogs can't get into.
That's
on
good
the
point.
On the stick. And then build the cat its own. I'm dead serious. And this is coming from the guy who turned the back of my Subaru Outback into a little fucking sheepskin.
Yeah, what is that? What would you call that?
I call it a nap area.
Oh, you did it?
He's got
yeah.
sheepskin in the back with lights
and
around.
Pillows.
Oh, we have to all go lay in it right now
and
take
nice.
A photo.
It's fucking nice.
No.
The
Yep.
But I think you should build a high walkway for the cat to have its own personal space.
Walkway, like a catwalk.
Yeah, ooh. Along the perimeter of like crown molding, but like 2 feet down, but like a foot wide, and then have one of those high posts they can go sleep. She can go sleep in, or he.
Like a gerbil house. In
yes.
My own house?
Yes, I'm but the cat can have its own private area
should
to
I put
get
a
away
train
from the dogs.
That it has to avoid once
they
hour,
also have these
hour.
Awesome beds that you can like suction cup to the window, and the cat has like this like chill like little hammock up against the window.
I'm into this. I'm into having multiple levels of pets and then a glass
like
floor with fish underneath.
You want a rainforest of animals?
No, I'm serious. Actually. Dogs get the same level as humans. The fish are under the floor.
Right. There's actually a restaurant in Beverly Hills where
yeah.
they have the fish.
Yeah.
The...
Koi.
Koi, yeah.
But I like having the cats up high, and then above that you can have like an atrium for
birds. Yeah. It's going to be kind of like a pet store though, right? Kind of pet
a fancier, a more expensive pet store.
So I slept in the guest room. First, I had her in the office, and then I decided to move her to the back. And she's been in two different rooms now. But I slept in the office room. That I call it the office where I put all my spare shit.
How come?
Because I was sleeping in there with her, so she used my musk for two nights in a row. And it was awful because I'd wake up, and she'd just be meowing.
I didn't know cats needed to be acclimated to.
They do.
Is that true?
Fact.
I was going to say that when you leave, you should like leave one of your shirts like with the cat.
Hey, I really, really have to pee. Should I go pee now?
I think we should end the show.
Okay.
Do we have anything else? Or?
We have some advice.
All right, I want to do advice.
Go pee. Make it quick.
Go pee. We'll talk cats. We'll talk pussy.
So I can see like there being a play or something, you know, where a guy's like explaining to a young man. He's like, a woman's a lot like a pussy cat. And explaining why. You know what I mean? And it kind of stuck.
But now what are you naming? Are you naming... Now you're
naming
the vagina.
The vagina, yeah.
Not the other way around.
No, I think it was probably Pussycat first, right?
Well, that's
that'd
what,
be gross.
I thought
if we have an animal. Out
I thought you were proving
after.
The. I thought you were.
I was proving the bridge. I was explaining.
Okay.
That
you
I
were fighting
think,
the corollary, not the.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Not the origin of Pussycat, but yeah, I could be wrong.
I'm sure there's some gross reason, and it might as well. It very
maybe
well
it's
could
just
be what you said.
Maybe it's coincidental. There's a lot of things with two that different names, or I mean, same names, but are different things, right?
Yes, there are.
We discovered many
Let's
of them.
Let's name
when,
them all.
When we were doing bail bonds and frail bonds and hail bonds.
Oh, God. Do people know that story? It's not worth going over.
It's too hard to explain.
It's
I think.
Too hard
and
to explain.
I think we might have tried to while, in one of the drunken episodes long, long ago.
How close have the dogs gotten to the cat? Like, right up on it? Like, smelling it? Or
yeah, they
like,
smelled it. Like, I brought it in a little carrier, and then I let it out with the dogs all on the couch. And it came out, and they, like, went up and put their nose on its nose. And cats are such sketchers. Like, I'm sitting there with her, and she's just looking at the walls. Just, I'm sure she's just trying to figure out her escape.
Yeah.
But just casually, like, you know, slyly looking at
it hasn't
the
made a run for the exit? Yeah.
No, it hasn't gone outside. I'm worried about that, because it's not ready to go outside in my backyard. I don't think it can get over the walls yet, but I don't want to, like, hide in this
yeah,
horrible
just gonna,
place.
Yeah.
Like, filled with spiders in the backyard.
You have plenty of places for a cat to
be gone for days.
Hide away for a long time.
Yeah. So, but it sucks, because I'll leave the door open all day for the dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, anything can come in my house. It's just a matter of time before I come home and the raccoon is
in my
house.
Is it scratching things yet? Or, like, grabbing at doors?
No.
Hmm.
It's going in between the blinds of the window, though, all the time.
Yeah.
It kept waking
cats
up.
Like warmth.
They love that shit.
Yeah.
Henry, the second I open the bedroom door in the morning, he runs in, jumps up on the chair, jumps up into the window, and is chilling there for a while.
Yeah. Just don't name it something idiotic like we named our cat when we were kids.
What was that?
My sister got to name it. She named it Catty Kit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't have that problem.
Yeah, Mike Anderson's not a six-year-old girl.
Yeah, I don't have any of those around dying to name my cat.
Ooh, can you get it? You need to rhyme it with Hank and Frank so we can have three cats.
Skank.
And then when we all move in together.
Tank.
I'm going to call it Vagina. Hey, you're on
Snake
the
Snake Plissken.
Disaster.
Name it Snake Plissken.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a girl, though. Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Name it.
Hey, you're in the After Disaster. How are you? You know, I'm afraid that it's never going to be able to get acclimated to the dog. So I don't know if it's ever going to.
No, sometime it will.
It will, and it's like, going to rule over all of them.
You know what?
Really?
I bet everybody that goes to prison thinks I'm never going to get acclimated to this, and eventually they do.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. So rest easy knowing that your cat feels like it's in prison.
Oh, it totally does. Hi,
well, after you've thrown your musk all over it.
I think there was a man that was very mean to it, and obviously there. Broke its tail, and yeah. Who the fuck locks a cat,
yeah.
A helpless little kitten, yeah. in an apartment in Palmdale where it's super hot?
Where's the break in the tail? Is it the tip?
It's towards the tip, yeah.
Yeah. Henry has the lightning bolt tail.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And who does that? I mean, what kind of a cruel fuck? And so I'm trying to get my my brother-in-law to look up, like, to get the landlord to actually go after these people.
You're going to do like
hey,
a...
I've brought this up before.
You should call Liam Neeson.
I brought this up before in life,
work, Tyler.
Maybe on this show, but I think the cool thing to do would be shave the whole body but leave sideburns.
I looked into shaving cats. Apparently, yeah. You're not supposed to do it. Apparently, well, they can make them like really sick, I guess, because they can't regulate their body
just like shaving vaginas. You're not supposed to do that either.
Hello, Colin.
So another tie-in.
Hello, Colin.
So one of my friends messaged me saying, I noticed you're...
Well, first, we need more information. How many friends do you have?
Realistically, three. Like,
oh, that's pretty good.
But they said that I noticed your After Disaster shirt, and then they added, Tyler White is my friend, Lauren is his wife.
What?
It was Sergio, Tyler.
I don't know what's going on right now. I'm so fucking lost. What's
Sergio
happening?
Is someone that Lauren went to makeup school with.
Oh.
Yes.
The funny thing is, the other week when Lauren almost flaked on your guys' shoot, I messaged Sergio, because I knew he could do makeup, asking him if he would want to do makeup
that's
for Anderson,
nice.
But he had school.
Oh, Sergio, school on Saturday. What the fuck?
Well, all Sergio right. needs to learn a lesson about how showbiz works.
Yeah.
Excuses are like pussies.
It's important in moi school.
All right, we need to do some ED Vice.
Yeah, let me pull this up for
Wait,
you.
Is that Marina?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes,
really, Mikey? Hang on, I haven't figured
Hold
this
on,
out
on,
yet.
Yeah, I just figured it out right
second,
now.
Marina. I got one more call I got to get.
I thought it was a random caller just giving us some inside information.
Hi, you're in the AD. How are you? Hi.
It's still me.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Oh, my God. Did you call from two phones?
She's calling from within her own.
Oh, my God. She's calling from inside the studio.
Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Well, this is the call that just said nothing earlier. And here's the last call. We only have five lines open, so we used to have six, so it's easier to get through all the calls. Hi, you're in the After Disaster. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
How
did you hear in Germany the Ethics Council is trying to legalize incest between siblings?
Who is this now? Is this Hella Ugly? Okay, this show. No, we're becoming one of those shows where it's like,
who, wait,
this is all like inside, and it's always the same. I don't like.
I don't like the people who are calling us up to let us know, like, hey, good news, guys, incest is almost legal in Germany.
That's right. Hey, great news. In Belgium, you can fuck a cat.
I did not hear that.
Sorry, I was just trying to be entertaining.
That's entertaining. That's newsworthy.
Why would someone ever do that unless it was some sort of royalty?
Love
it's
is love.
One
bro.
Crazy fuck who just like you know they, the news outlets picked it up.
I think I would be suspicious of the guy who tried to submit. I have a new law.
Especially if he's an only child.
Yeah.
If you elect me, I will let you fuck your sister.
It's because the story is a man who was adopted met his biological sister. They had four children, and because it's illegal, in 2008, he was sent to prison, and he's been trying to petition his release. So
that's terrible.
Some of them are deciding that the disabilities don't warrant enough problems for a person to be incarcerated.
But
gotcha.
Do they have to make an entire like okay now everybody can do it? Yeah. Can they just be that one guy like wow that was a really weird.
Someone
situation.
Just can't walk down the aisle with the keys and go you're out, dude.
That's so Germany though because they're so like precise with everything. But it's not in the papers. It's not. It must be in the
we
papers.
We will make the changes. You will get to bang the sisters and the brothers.
So wait, he didn't know this is biological. It's just like by chance.
No, he looked her up. And then he found out that they were related.
After they had already been doing the banging. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have four children, and two of them are disabled.
Mm-hmm. I got to be honest. If you're...
They can play the banjo real good, though.
If you're married to some woman and you think, this might be my sister, I would just not do the research.
Yeah. Right?
Just, like, not look it up.
Yeah.
Don't they make you, like, do, like...
You guys, I have a weird feeling I'm related to Hitler. I'm going to go home and get Ancestry.com to look it up. You'd be like, oh, shit.
My mom got me one of those. Thank you very much for the creepy information.
Did it work?
Thank you very much.
How much was it?
I don't know. It was like a gift for, I think, Christmas or my birthday.
I kind of want to do
it. You can do Ancestry free for a month.
One of those, it's like a packet, and I get a swab, and then I got to send it off, and they do like a full DNA test.
Oh, yeah. My mom was going to do that for me.
I got it. I just haven't done it yet.
You should do it.
I'm afraid.
You should send them the cat DNA.
Sir, we have some bad news. You are a malnourished cat from Palm Desert.
It was Palmdale.
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Palmdale.
I had my teeth worked on today, so my jaw is very, very sore. Okay, let's get some
AD
bites.
Let's do some AD bites.
You ever have your teeth scaled?
Ugh.
Yeah,
no, you told me about that. And I remember Dr. Drew's expression was like one of shock. Like he had never heard of that.
Well, Drew knows very little about dentistry.
I know.
But no, I had it done today. Not that bad.
Yeah.
Not that bad. Yeah. They just go up under your gums and get any kind of tartar buildup so to make sure you're cool. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Isn't that just a cleaning?
Yeah, but it's deep, deep cleaning. All right. Here we go.
Deep cleaning.
I want the cleaning so deep they remove all my teeth, clean them in a vat of acid, and put them back in.
Yeah. I can't wait till we have that. It's gonna happen.
Interchangeable teeth sounds awful.
The new
X-rays. There's like a little thing right here you can just put a little and just pop out all your teeth.
Yeah.
I think that would be okay.
The new X-rays are super crazy good.
I know.
Oh, the one that goes around you?
No, that one's awesome.
It gives you that skull?
That was so long ago, they made me take my earrings out, and you get your full bottom jaw. It's like a panoramic view of your bottom. No, but like the new ones, like they still put the lead thing on you, but they just do quick shots, and they're like digital instant.
Yeah.
And you can see all the enamel. They're much clearer.
It's
much
very
better.
Disturbing. I last time I got that round X-ray, I asked the guy, I go, can I do something? I'm like, I'll pay for it. Right. I want to put something in my mouth. And he's like, it's very dangerous.
Yeah. And they don't let you have your X-rays? Actually, I found my X-rays in my back.
I think they have
the
to let you have them
the
if you ask.
Computer chip. No, because they technically own them.
You paid for them.
But they own them somehow.
I don't know.
Especially if the insurance paid for them. All right. Sorry. This is the worst show we've done.
Tune in next week where we'll get into in-depth about who owns x-rays.
I need to find my x-rays where you can see the...
My San Diego dentist gave me my x-rays because I told her I might just go to a dentist in L.A. And she goes, well, take these with you just in case so they don't have to do it again. And guess what? They did it again anyway.
She was trying to get rid of you.
The worst. They're the worst.
Yeah, they are.
The x-ray things are the worst. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. My dentist, good friend of the family, been going to him for 25, 30 years. My sister used to work there, right? So I needed to get like some kind of crazy shit done, like a bridge or something. Root canal. Uh-huh. And he's like, you got to go see this guy. He's a friend of mine. I went to school with him. Here are the x-rays.
Do this handshake.
You don't have to
deal.
Pay because I don't have insurance. You don't have to pay for the x-rays because we just took them. So take them over there. So I go over there. I wait for this fucker 45 minutes. It's my dentist's friend dentist. He's a friend of a friend. And I'm sitting there for 45 minutes waiting. I have a friend, a really good family friend, who's working in that office as well. So I got connections everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in. This dentist won't look at me until he takes his own x-rays and charges me. I'm like, no, but I have some that were taken like literally an hour ago from your friend who you went to school with. I don't care. They're not my x-rays.
What an asshole.
I said, well,
did
I'm
you leave?
Not your patient. And I left.
Nice.
Good.
Zing.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, a jerk store called.
I don't have a tooth there anymore. That's kind
of running out of you.
I lost that tooth on principle.
Well, you showed him. And there were no other dentists. It was him.
No, actually, you know what I ended up doing is going to USC and having them do it, and it didn't take.
Fucking Trojans.
They did a really bad job because he was
UCLA.
A student. He was a student. I was probably the first live thing I ever worked on.
He's shaking.
I remember I was talking to Corolla about it, and he thought it was hilarious. And he's like, yeah, it's a place where it's so shitty when they're cleaning the scalp and they just do this. And he like put it under his armpit like he was cleaning it. To this day, every time I'm cleaning a blade with a towel, I think of Corolla making fun of my dentist who's going to do a bad job of me, and I get angry. And I clean blades 2-3 times a day.
You do?
Yeah. I'm cooking in the kitchen, constantly cleaning blades.
Hmm.
Every time I take a paper towel or a towel to a blade and clean it like that, I think of Corolla making that joke, and I get mad. Every time.
You got to find another way to clean them.
Wow, your life is hard.
Why don't you ask Jillian to clean the blades?
She'd love that. Okay.
All right. Now, what everyone's been waiting for. The moment has come.
All three of us have been waiting.
For this is one of those ones where we go, sounds tough. All right, well, good night, everybody. All right. I need some advice concerning a roommate of mine who I'm pretty sure has some form of high-functioning Asperger's. I'm 22. I'm a fairly unsocial guy, and I don't do too well in the way of friends. So when I needed a roommate for a new year, I was in trouble until my girlfriend referred me to a partial friend of hers. I don't know what a partial is. He, like, missing legs? My personal friend of hers from her computer science class at college. Naturally, I accepted the offer, and the guy and I are now in a year-long bind as roommates. Problem is, the guy is a little bit off. He mumbles, he misses blatant social cues, and worst of all, he insists on talking to me from across the building so that I have to stop what I'm doing and go out in the living room at least 10 times a day to gawk at his newest lampshade or Star Trek binder drawing. He apparently thought we would become best buddies, and he's constantly inviting me out to dinner or wanting to just talk. He even suggested that he buy a new TV with HDMI so that my girlfriend and I would stop watching movies in our room, and instead we could watch them in the living room with him. I am reminded of Anderson's situation with Reggie, as I am so quick to anger whenever I am in his presence. It makes me feel intensely guilty, as he's a generally nice guy and even gives me free beer. I just can't stand more than a few minutes with him because of how awkward he is. He's also mentioned in passing that he's depressed about not having any friends, which gives me the irrational fear that he'll do something crazy, like murder me in my sleep. Is there anything I can do here, or is it one of those deal-with-it situations?
Jesus.
P.S. I live down the block from the Madonna Inn, so next time when you perhaps are staying there, you should send me an email, as I'd love to come meet you.
I think
so we get our own creepy roommate.
Yeah, what's in
the question
us,
is
there?
A downer to end the show on, because now I'm depressed for him.
You mean more so than the tiger eating the person, or the...
That wasn't a downer. That was the circle of life.
Okay.
Why don't you move in with your girlfriend into a one-bedroom?
Why didn't you move in with your girlfriend?
Why don't you?
He's not going to answer.
Waiting for an answer. I mean, that's what you do, right? You just got to move your living situation, and it sucks.
You know, we should have done there. We should have left like 2 minutes of dead air and then, hello?
But what if it's a great apartment and you don't want to give it up?
Yeah, it's San Luis Obispo. They're all the same.
I can't fathom the idea of roommates, for starters, but... And I've known many people who've had roommates, and some of them loved it and they got along great, and some of them had
Well,
just
nowadays,
nightmares.
You don't just, like, go off a whim, like, my friend or girlfriend knows a guy. I mean, you go on, like, sites where you get matched up, I think. Right?
To an extent. My friend Maria lives very close to UCLA, across the street, actually, in a very nice apartment. And
that is quite close.
And she's very young, so they have a two-bedroom apartment, and it's two girls in one room and two guys in the other. And they just had two new guys move in, and she's like, I'm spending all my time out because I don't like the new roommates.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a nightmare. That's freaking a nightmare.
I've dated girls where they have roommates that they don't like, and it's always so awkward and weird, especially when I sleep with them.
Yeah, it's totally hard.
That only happened once.
Such an alpha
it's
male.
Totally
move,
hard.
Right?
When
no,
you're taming that pussy.
Stop it. I have dated girls who have roommates, and it's just always, like, as soon as they get in, like, they come home, it's like your parents are home almost.
I
like,
did. Gosh. I did, as an adult man, one of the more embarrassing ones, which was taking a girl home. And her roommates are there, and we were going to have sex. And then she's like, just pull in the garage. And we had to clean the garage first, so my car fit in there. And they're all looking at us out the window, and I'm moving to the side. And then barely got my car, and then we closed the garage, and we had sex in my front seat. And then I left,
nice.
And it was so embarrassing. So weird. So uncomfortable.
You turned the car off, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? That has to have happened.
Call an ambulance.
All right, technically, this guy's not responsible for the roommate, but in a sense... I know that if I was in a situation, I would feel somewhat responsible for him because I've spent a year with him and I've at least...
No, he says he's like...
Entering a year?
Like I'm in a year-long bind, so it means like we've agreed to, you know, sign the lease for the next year or whatever.
He's stuck with him for at least a year.
I don't know how far into it he is.
I hope he doesn't listen to the program.
I would maybe start acting weirder than him.
Wait, because there's a lot of like specifics.
Out weird.
Like right down the street from Madonna Inn.
Eh.
Girlfriend.
Whatever.
HDMI TV.
Maybe this is his goal is to...
You know what? This is a good chance.
We will intervene for him.
I'm putting a positive spin on this, and I mean this. This is a good chance for you to devote a year of your life to getting a lot of fucking work done. Like, just go hog goddamn wild. You're never home. You're working. You're always busy.
Yeah, well, is he a student?
Yes. Well, I don't know. His girlfriend is, so I assume maybe he is, too.
And I know that you probably hate... confrontation, but if you care about this guy at all, or if it sounds like you got a soft spot in your heart a little bit, and
that's what's hard because it sounds like the guy's like, it's not like an asshole that you hate living with. He's like a means well.
I think the only solution is you kill him before he kills you.
But the guy that wrote it right when I think that maybe he felt bad because he's like, yeah, he says that he has no friends. I hope he doesn't kill me. Like that's what his like you know motivation is and his concern for this guy not having friends. I was gonna say maybe you kind of let him know about some of the things that bother you about him somehow. I mean, especially if the guy drinks beer, have a few beers and be like, hey, why don't you talk to me from your room? I can't hear you and it's really frustrating. After you have a couple beers, you know, a little social lubricant there, maybe you can let him know.
Yeah, what if it gets worse? Then your uncomfortable relationship.
I think people that have no
roommate.
Idea what. Drives other people crazy should know like what they do.
You know what you should do? Sit down with him heart to heart, face to face, and just go, I need to talk to you about something. I'm not gay. That's what you do. You make him think that you think he's gay and hitting on you. Then that'll weird him
out.
And
then he'll do everything he can to prove that he's not by staying away from you. That's not bad. It's not terrible. Yeah, I think you're kind of stuck with it.
I think you got to buy a... You gotta have like a bracelet made that has a lot of like little bells on it, and then you go like, hey, I got you something like at the fair, or I don't know. Yeah. Maybe
it's not
give
like
it
he sneaks up on him.
Give it some sort. Well, he's worried that he might murder him in his sleep.
It's not gonna happen.
So if you give us a little bracelet or a little anklet thing, you'll hear him.
You need to apply
jingling
to work
around the apartment.
Madonna Inn and do some good like customer service because they have none.
You know what? I'm with you on that one, even though I've been treated pretty fairly there. Even though I've heard from you and I've heard from another guy. Who said I'll never go back there again?
Well, I'm not quite that crazy. No. Do we have another AD advice? I'm sorry, buddy. We don't have more advice.
Do you know what's weird is? Last time we were there getting cake a few weeks ago, someone who works there came over and said, oh, I recognize you guys. You're here a lot. And I was like, we've only been here twice.
Really?
Yeah. It was funny and weird. It flew in the face of my expecting terrible customer service.
Maybe they've
one of the waitresses came over. She goes, I remember you guys. Hi, what's up? What are you doing?
You remember her? Was she Asian?
No, she was very tall, cute. Mm-hmm. Works in that where the pies are.
Yes. I think she's too cute to be working with pies.
No.
They should have her up front.
No, she's in the right.
They should have her up front.
She's pie level.
Okay. The show's evolving in a bad way.
Okay, so this is from Taylor. He's from North Carolina.
Taylor, I like that name.
Says, my AD venture to California for the live show made me start to think about the person I am versus the person I want to be.
Wait, wait, where is he from?
North Carolina.
And he came to the AD live show?
Yep.
What? Did we meet him?
Hopefully.
He came to from North Carolina.
Right. You're not making him feel good, by the way.
North Carolina's far. I thought North Dakota, but North Carolina. You might have the record. Canada's like right above us. North Carolina's way over there.
Well,
Canada's above us, and then like,
yeah, but
a lot over to the right because that's how the map works, right?
Yes. Okay. I don't think anyone came from Ontario, Tyler, or Newfoundland.
I think someone came from Russia.
What?
I don't know. Can I get through?
Yes. Jesus don't make any Christ. More Russian jokes, please.
So Taylor from North Carolina.
I didn't know they had cool names like that in North Carolina.
What?
Taylor's a cool name.
Oh, I was so close to having a cool name.
Tyler. No, can I just say, I don't know how many people you met from North Carolina and South Carolina. Salt of the earth. Really good, honest, great people. Have you noticed that?
No, but.
Like, you know my friend Travis?
Mm-hmm.
Played the Mormon. He's in North Carolina. You know Rand, who was on my set?
Yes. North Carolina?
He's South Carolina. You know Joey Shanks? North Carolina. North Carolina's got some sweet people.
It's because it's like the South, but they're also on the Atlantic, so they got that...
North Carolina?
They got that East Coast, but Southern could mix.
Could be. All right. What's the old Taylor got?
They're friendly, and they can read.
I know. When I first started working in radio, I was on For All on the Bench, and one of our characters used to call. He called from a payphone. Forget his name, God. But he was from North Carolina, and all he wanted to do was talk about NASCAR. And he was from North. He'd never say North. North.
He didn't want to talk about the Tar Heels?
He'd have to walk down the street. He had no teeth. He told us this. And he was missing, like, his two front teeth.
Maybe he was just getting him washed.
Two blocks down the street from his house to a payphone to call us. And he'd call us every single night.
Hey,
you know what they sell in Home Depot? Washing machine cleaner.
Holy shit. Is this a Seinfeld joke?
That you put in the washing machine to clean the actual washing machine.
The most non sequitur ever blurted out of the
but
show.
But isn't that insane?
What's the deal?
You said he was getting his teeth washed?
The washing machine.
Isn't that crazy, though?
It's soap you put
in the washing machine and run a cycle to clean the washing machine.
That's kind of scary. Like, why? All right. That's just for over protective parents.
I hate whatever's happened in the last three minutes of the show.
I bought shampoo to clean the shampoo out of my hair.
I looked down on my phone today. I was at a red light, and I was trying to turn right, and I wanted to see how long it was going to take to get home to my wife, because I was leaving one part of town where I got my teeth cleaned, and I knew it was going to be 47 minutes or something. I looked down. It was all red. All the streets were red.
Yeah.
Rush hour. I'm like, fuck, 47 minutes. I was kind of proud of myself. And I looked up. I let my foot off the gas just a little bit. I looked up, and I was kind of like edging towards the intersection, but I was still far, very far from the father and his little son who were on a bike coming towards me. The dad saw that my eyes were not trained on his child. They were down on my lap and then up at him. And he was irate. And I felt such shame.
Did he verbalize it or did he just give it
to with his eyes?
Yeah.
And I was like on the fence, like, all right, this guy's overreacting, but still he has a point. But he's overreacting. He still has a point. He's with his kid. And I'm just locked eyes with him. And I actually took my sunglasses down like in the 80s so I could look at him and I followed him.
Like in the 80s, that's when everyone took their sunglasses down.
Yeah, like Top Gun move, right? You take your aviators and you kind of like dip them down on your nose and you look
invented
over
that?
The pier.
So you were threatened? You were like trying to threaten
I was
back.
Like kind of staring back like, all right, I get it. And I'm instinctively, I wanted to put it in park and get out of the car and yell at him, but I didn't because he was with the kid.
Yeah.
But I was in traffic for the next 47 minutes feeling massive amounts of shame.
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I almost run over people's kids because I'm texting.
And then I wasn't sure if I was using the term shame properly, so I looked it up on my phone.
then I hit a kid.
As he runs over a kid.
Turns out I had it right. Okay.
Okay.
What's his question?
Taylor,
let's
North
get to it. My 80 venture to California for the live show made me start to think about the person I am versus the person I want to be. I tend to get stuck inside my own head and overthink things until I talk myself out of whatever situation is at hand. What I want to be is that guy that can walk into any place and just meld in and make friends. So I made up my mind to take this trip, and while I was in this new magical land, I would take advantage of the time and take it, quotes, to the max. Our most popular episode.
Oh, that's our most popular. Yeah.
I ended up imbibing too many adult beverages and regretting most of my actions at the night of the show, but I had an overall good time. The following day, I spent my time wandering around the town with my resolve to get involved weakened severely.
It's hard when you're hungover. You feel like a lot of like low self-esteem.
To get to my question, do you believe a person is generally just who they are for life, or that a person can change their nature through sheer willpower? Also, Matthew Tipping gave me $20 for drinks, so shout out to Matt. Thanks, Tyler from North Carolina.
Matt was just dropping $20.
Seriously.
Jeez. Coins. That's nice of Tipping.
I think I may have met Taylor. I remember that name a bit, and I think I may have actually talked about North Carolina with him. I too was imbibing that.
Okay, here's – I think this is a very important question, and I think – I don't have the answer to it, but I hope to God you can change. Because I want to change a lot of things about myself, and I don't want to continue this pattern.
I think you can make small changes over a long amount of time.
Yeah, you can't do it just by sheer willpower. You can't be like, this is the guy I'm going to be, like fucks do when they go to Vegas, which is why I hate Vegas, and I'm going to be somebody different this weekend.
Yeah.
And usually they do it by faking it with drinks and whatnot. I can tell you that I have firsthand, I'm actually experiencing it right now, with somebody who's very close to me. I'm not going to give details. But they made a huge life change. They're older, late 30s.
Okay.
They've been the same forever. One of the most brittle, rigid people I know. Like, they're very set in their ways.
Schmanderson Schmallen?
Nope. Made a giant life change and moved away from a situation. And I see marked difference in this person. And
I can't wait to find out who this is.
They're happier. Me too. They have more self-confidence. Like, they were stunted when they're in their same routine and same place. If you take the really scary steps necessary to change your life in a positive direction, you will change as a result, I think.
And you know what else? Your perspective,
it's all from perspective.
I don't want to bring him up again, but Dr. Drew,
I was talking
to him about that, about can you ever actually make these can you actually change? And he goes, absolutely. It's repetitive, though. You need to constantly work at it and more and more and more. And then you do change, and it takes time. But he goes, you have to repeat it over and over and over and over.
Yeah, but actions. That goes along with what I said, because if you make a giant change, life change, living situation change, all of your routines are going to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I was horribly depressed in high school because I found out that I was fat, and the girl that I was in love with, because I was naive and trusting, and I found out she was, sleeping with everybody, and I had no friends, and I completely shut myself off. And I got a new job, a new car, or it was an old car, but I got rid of my. I just changed as much as I could without moving out of my house. So I had a whole new routine, and it felt like I had a new life.
Yeah, because I want to change a lot about me. I really, really do.
You got to move out of your house.
I want to enjoy it. So
you got a new girlfriend.
Hey,
you got the new car.
I'm building a new house in the back of my car.
You got the new car.
In case you haven't noticed.
But then you're forced. Like, it goes along with what Drew's saying. But it's like, are you going to fall into the same ruts and do the same thing in your new life? Or are you going to find – I mean, you got to make sure that they're positive changes. Like this person that I'm talking about, they're actually living on their own independently for the first time ever and in a very different part of town and dealing with things that they were scared of before. And now they're
– I like that. I like that.
And like, if you do something that you're uncomfortable with or you're scared, you have that feeling of like, oh, shit, what am I doing? That's like when you actually grow.
I got to tell you, the live show was sort of brought on by that. Like, fuck it. Let's do something.
Instead of just
talking about it, let's do it.
I think a smaller one, a way to do it that is less drastic than the change your entire environment and, trial by fire, like throw your, which will work, obviously, because you have to adapt. Otherwise, you, I don't know what happens to you, but not good. Is like, it's so easy to like to see something and be like, oh, I'm interested in that, but then like dismiss it because it doesn't fit into your like your daily routine, or you're like, this isn't what fits the preconceived notion of me, of what other people think about me, or this is not what I make time for, or whatever. But to actually then say, oh, fuck it, I'll go, like, if you're interested in that random book, go read that book, and then maybe you. It's like
I've made conscious decisions. Like I want to do this. I'm going to do this. And then when I went to do it, I pushed out like cowboy boots.
Good.
I'm serious though. I'm like, I want cowboy boots and I want them now. And I want to buy them from the store in Las Vegas. And I drove there to buy them and they were closed. That was a bad example.
It doesn't always work out either. But you've got to try.
But then I realized, looking through the window at cowboy boots, I'm like, I'm really never going to fucking wear cowboy boots. It just seemed like a good idea one day.
It's probably a distraction. That's probably the opposite of what we're talking about here. You're probably should have been doing something else, but you got obsessed with cowboy boots to keep your mind off the other thing. That's why you go to Home Depot a lot.
Well, okay. that stupid car is a good one because the reason I initially wanted a Subaru Outback, and I'm not kidding, was I was walking out of Whole Foods and I was looking at a Subaru Outback in the parking lot and I went, I could take a nap in the back of that car right now. I'm not kidding you. And that was in the back of my head the whole time. The windows are pitch black. I'm like, I could crawl back there and take a nap anywhere I wanted. And then tonight, I was having a little anxiety attack, and I just went, I'm going to Costco right now, and I'm buying blankets and pillows for the back of the car so I can have a little, like, nap machine.
Have you napped in it yet?
No.
I don't think you can ever be comfortable enough.
I don't think so either.
Oh, I heard this in passing, and I know nothing about it other than the very basic, like, face.
Tell me more.
Front facts, which is there's some kind of animal shelter. I think it's local, and they're hooking up with hikers who like to hike but don't have a dog but want to borrow a dog to hike with.
That's awesome.
So you just slide into the shelter, pick out a dog to take out on a hike with you. Dog gets out.
That sounds so dangerous.
Sounds awesome. For the dog, for the person. I thought maybe you should try a few different dogs.
I will try that. Let's find out where
it is.
That'd
be good for you. Okay.
Let's find out. I will try that once at least.
Yeah, willpower is not going to do it there, Taylor. But just find like different activities, different groups of friends, different. Push yourself.
I'll tell you my new embarrassing interest.
Yeah, because I could tell you were coming from a very cathartic place when you were saying, you should just
let's hear it.
If you want to do something, you should do it.
It's so lame.
Does it do with the stars?
What?
Does it have to do with the sky?
No.
Are you gonna start looking through like telescopes?
No, it's. I don't know. It might be lamer than that. I was watching Bones Brigade, the one about Tony Hawk and all those dudes. And I was like,
great documentary, directed by Stacey Peralta.
I like missed the skating thing when I was in eighth grade or whatever. Like everyone like started doing it one summer, and like I was like 6 months behind it. So I was like, oh fuck it, I guess I missed that boat. But the other day I was like, I need some sort of like fucking form of exercise. Uh-huh. And that documentary was fucking awesome. I was like, should I just go get a fucking skateboard and be that fucking
lame?
Did
you do it?
I haven't done it yet, but I'm
going
to.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be that lame 28-year-old dude.
No, you don't understand. We can go together.
Riding around.
Yeah.
What?
Because I promised myself years ago, I said, if I ever get health insurance, first thing I'm going to do is go out and buy a skateboard.
I swear to God, I'm in.
Starting a gang.
I got health insurance back in February, and I still owe myself that skateboard. But I have it all picked out and everything. But I got to actually go.
Are you getting a longboard?
I know. Are you getting a truck? No, I'm getting something called a Bigfoot. I talked about it on the show.
I think you guys will be surprised to know that I actually can skateboard and I can still do tricks even at my age.
They're repaving my street right in front of my house, and I'm waiting for them to do that.
I'm in.
We can build a little half pipe.
Let's not go crazy.
Yeah, let's not go crazy.
I know. I'm terrified that I'm going to blow out my knee again.
We got to go skating, guys.
Here's the problem. Using skateboarding for exercise, and I know skaters will disagree with me, doesn't work because you're always using one leg to push off, so you're getting exercise on one side.
Mike, that's so not correct.
Yes, it is.
Are you goofy foot? I'm goofy.
You don't switch.
I know you don't switch, but it's cardio.
You're still getting
the
cardio.
Only way
okay.
Like
you're
the only way that it'd be an unequal amount is if you were going like straight up a hill.
No, he's got a point. Have you ever seen a skateboarder wearing the shorts?
One butt cheek is big and buff.
Always, yeah. The other side's all like lumpy and
withered and Stephen Hawking.
I'm in. Let's go get skateboards.
Tony Hawk has a 1 pound leg. His left leg is 1 pound.
Have you ever seen The Lady in the Water?
No.
Freddie Sanchez? What's his name? Freddie Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
I mean, there is a guy named Freddie Rodriguez.
Yeah, he plays the scary. That movie is a good movie. People give a shit because it's M. Night Shyamalan, but The Lady in the Water is a good little movie.
I didn't care for it all that much.
It's a good little movie. Remember Freddie Rodriguez? What's his name? Freddie?
Guys, I feel so empowered that you're like behind my skating.
No, I'm totally in.
He just worked out one side, so he's completely buff on one side, all skinny on the other. Remember
that's
that
what
guy?
That dude. Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the neighbors, right?
Yeah. All the neighbors are crazy and fun.
I want to know. I think it's going to be fun. We should take bets by the listeners as to which one of us is going to be going to the doctor for a skateboarding injury.
I love that your resolve was that if I ever get health insurance,
I
will buy
like
a skateboard.
Because like, you're spending all this money. What are you getting?
I said that for a Vespa. I'm like, I'm getting a Vespa. And then.
Well, that would have to be life insurance.
Oh, I said I'm getting a Vespa. And then Tara's like, no, you're not. And I went, yeah, I am. And she went, no, you're not. And I went, you're not the boss. You can't tell me what to do. And she goes, you're not getting a Vespa.
What kind of skateboard do you think?
I don't know.
Because I was looking at the longboard. I want, you know what I want? My dream, have you seen?
I might need two. I might need the longboard for cruising, but I think I want a shorter one so that I can, you know, Have you ever pop up on the curb and
the
pop
life
down.
Of what was it called? It came out last year. With
life
that.
Of
Life of Schmitty.
Wonderful Walter Mitty.
Yeah,
Walter Mitty's. I liked that movie a lot. Actually,
really, it was way too hokey for me.
It was, but it's a perfect.
If
like
Sean Penn's character didn't exist in it, I think it might have had a chance.
It's the perfect like Sunday afternoon like just random.
Wait
movie.
A minute. When Sean Penn is like, sometimes I don't even take the shot.
Oh
fuck
yeah, that's
you.
That's terrible.
Fuck you.
That's. But I liked when Walter Mitty would like zone out and like weird shit would happen.
Yeah, it was really
and
funny.
him alone in that little town.
I want that skateboard.
Was great.
I will be here. I will be here with my skateboard next week.
Should we all try and like make that a goal? Like we'll get the skateboard by next week. We'll all come in with our boards.
I can try.
I've gone to a few places to talk to guys. I've stood on boards.
See, that's
I just haven't pulled the
see,
trigger.
See, that's me having to go at my comfort zone because I don't want to have to walk into a place and be like, yeah, I don't really know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I just want to like research online and like buy on Amazon in the middle of the night.
The other day, I got a bridge.
So if anybody out there skates,
I'm going to buy a vintage board. I'm going to buy a vintage reissue.
I got so tired of sitting on my step and having no internet and my AT&T. I don't have all you can eat anymore, so I'm getting dangerously close to the 10 gigabyte limit. And I was showing Jillian that she's using way too much. And you know what her reaction was? Because I showed her. I can pull it up on the screen.
Get
and it's
more.
It's like 73% for her. And my mom has, because I pay for my mom. My mom has like 2% and I have like the remaining percent. And you know what Jillian said? I'm like, look, honey, we're getting really close. And I don't even want to know. I know it's cost a lot of money if we go over these 10 gigs. Look at what you're doing. You got the 73%. She's like, wow, I'm really killing it this month. She's like proud of herself. So I got one of those bridges or what they're called. You know, the repeaters?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you like your little area more. I hooked it up and I felt so good about myself because it actually worked. I mean, there were some hiccups along the way, but I felt like a caveman who just like invented a wheel, like a cruise around town. And I remember, I don't know what it was, but like right after I did that, I was feeling really positive for the first time all week.
And then you maxed out.
And then I thought about my skateboard adventures and I was like, I'm going to have a skateboard and they're redoing the street. Things are looking up. But I've kept it to myself, Tyler.
I'm going to come over and skateboard.
Wow, this was cathartic.
Hey, I didn't want to tell you this. No, I did want to tell you.
We got to come up with a name. Important.
We got to snuff and snuff and board.
Oh, snuff and board.
Snuff and board. All right, what? What
are you gonna we cruised by your house tonight.
What? It's creeps.
We were at that deli.
Why would you do that?
And I go, Anderson lives right over here. And she goes, let's drive by. And I went, all right. We just drove by.
I live nowhere close to
Mike
that
wanted
deli.
To see his future skating grounds.
You live very close to
no,
it.
No, it's like at least 10 minutes away.
No.
Yes.
No.
I love the idea of a neighborhood being harassed by a bunch of skaters, except they're all like 45, and they just stay in the cul-de-sac all day long,
and we don't wear helmets.
Causing problems.
I've had like 8 skateboards.
I'm not going to wear a helmet.
Cops would always take my
skateboard. Oh, we got to get helmets? Fuck.
No, there's no helmets.
No, there's no helmets.
We could harass Rotund. We could do like circles around her.
Why are you so excited about harassing
because
a child?
I opened the door a couple days ago, and she's just standing in front of my house, wearing her fucking, not rollerblades, but roller skates. And wearing her pink helmet, just standing there, motionless, staring at my house, right in front of it.
When I see people with roller skates, I wonder, where do they get those?
Thrift shop.
Like, no one makes new ones,
yeah,
right?
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Like, probably like in Amsterdam or somewhere European.
Yeah, the same place where you can buy snuff, you can buy roller skates.
All right. So
good night, everybody.
I don't know if I can get a skateboard by next week, because I'm very particular. But I'm excited. What?
Ooh, we can do a skate pod.
You know what I hate are the little plastic ones that are like.
No, we're not buying plastic ones. We're buying wood ones with real trucks.
Those tiny ones.
I hate them so much
because they fit in your back pocket. They're like smaller than your phone.
You can buy those at shoe stores.
I just remembered something
for like $50.
Little Ty Ty missed his somehow he was not around for the first 6 months of this skating craze that happened with his peers. But you know what he was into? He was into the little
tech decks.
Yes.
No, I never had a tech deck.
No, I thought you said you did.
No.
I thought you said you were familiar with it and you could do tricks.
No, I can't do a trick to save my life with a tech deck.
We talked about that on this show.
Well, I'm sure we talked about tech decks, but I cannot do a tech deck thing.
I don't remember talking about tech decks. I don't know what that is. I'm seven from the 70s skateboarder.
They're those stupid like 6-inch little skateboards that guys would do with their fingers.
No, I know what they are now, but I mean, I don't remember us ever talking about them.
All right, I apologize.
I want a reissue of an old, I want like a Fibroflex or an Alva or one of those boards. With tracker trucks and kryptonite wheels.
I'm getting a Caballero. I should get a Gator. Do they still have Gators?
I don't know.
He killed
I want one of those Powell Peralta boards with the skeleton coming through, though.
Yeah. Yep.
It's Bones Brigade. That's not any particular skater. I used to always have the Lance Mountain. That was my board. Lance Mountain, sweet. My brother was always.
I always had Steve Cathy, Dennis Martinez, Pineapple Saladino.
Rodney Mullen
guys.
Is a super interesting dude,
he's
but you
sweet.
Feel like really sad for him. He's like such a sweet,
man. He's a very, very sensitive soul. I love Rodney Mullen.
Yeah, right. That was a great documentary.
There's a regular film about those guys, too.
Even a regular one.
No, I mean like a dramatized movie about Dogtown.
It's called Dogtown the Z-Boys, and it's not good.
And that's not about Bones Brigade.
Yeah,
different crews,
different,
bro.
Different crew. That's the Venice crew. That's the Dogtown crew.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary
correct.
Called...
Correct.
Maybe the documentary is called Dogtown Z-Boys, and then the actual movie is called Dogtown, which I banned.
Yes, the actual movie is called Dogtown.
It was supposed to actually be... At one point, it was supposed to be Fincher was going to direct it. David Fincher was going to direct it, and I was very excited, and that fell through. But the greatest skateboard documentary ever is called Stoked.
Yeah.
The Rise and Fall of Gator. If you guys have not seen that.
No, I have not seen it.
Holy shit.
When I was a kid, we...
Stoked.
Our heroes were the people that I would see at the skateboard park,
yes,
and I would see driving around
and then
San Diego.
They would pick
like,
you up sometimes.
Yes.
Pineapple.
See, like,
and
yeah,
then
Pineapple
you get beat
and
up by
Saturday, and Dennis Martinez and those guys. But the arch nemesis of them were the Dogtown guys. Mm-hmm. And when the Dogtown guys
that's
rarely came to San Diego, but when they did, they were fucking scary.
Suicidal.
And I remember.
Oh, guys, we have awesome cul-de-sac right out here.
Tony Alva was like my hero from Dogtown at the time. And I still see him around, and he's kind of friends with Spade, and he still skateboards.
All right, we got to end this.
Yeah, seriously.
Good night, everybody. Next week, one of us might have a broken.
Good night.